You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Total Schemers Podcast. My name is Cyril. Today I'm joined by Jed. Say hello, Jed.
Hello, mate. How are we doing?
Very well. Very well. We've got some football to talk about, as usual. We watched some football last night. Those people that listened to yesterday's episode said, I said I would watch Crystal Palace Newcastle, but I'd seen the scoreline so early on in the Chelsea-Arsenal game, so I actually did end up watching pretty much the entirety of the Chelsea-Arsenal game. What about you, mate? What did you watch?
Same here, mate. Yeah.
Same here.
What am I missing out on?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, mate. What about, plus Lukaku started as well, so I kind of wanted to put an eye on it and see, you know, how he was going to perform. He wasn't really up to much. But it was a very, very good match. Very good match for, I think, Bukayo Saka was exceptional. Eddie Nketiah obviously scored some important goals. I think that'll do him a world of good as well. He needed to kind of step up in the absence of Lacazette. But give us your thoughts on the match, mate.
Like you said, I think it was really entertaining. Lots to talk about. I think
this is one we said would be boring. By the way, we said this would be boring.
It'd be a nil-nil. Yeah,
shows how much we know.
Nketiah especially, I think he impressed me. The first goal was excellent. It's a real, real good striker's goal. That I know he's still young, but I think he has got a lot of potential. Nketiah. So hopefully this will sort of kickstart him pushing on, you know, getting a regular place in the first team. I thought the Saka, you know, I thought the penalty incident looked a bit soft. It looked to me like he was already going down and they were both holding each other. But I think, you know, Smith Rowe took his goal well. It was just, you know, really entertaining, wasn't it?
Good response from Timo Werner to score almost immediately. Maybe it was about 5-10 minutes after Nketiah. Another point for me was Ben White played right back as well. Looked like a solution to the missing Tomiyasu. For me, I wasn't massively convinced by Cedric, but I think Ben White did a real good job out there playing out of position.
Yeah, it's obviously not his natural position. I don't think he would choose to play there. I don't think Arteta would choose to play him there either if he had, you know, if he had enough options. But Arsenal's squad is very, very threadbare. Yeah, there's very, very few options there. So unless he just brings a random youth kid in, which you don't really want to do when you're away at Stamford Bridge, I think it was probably the right option for him. But it makes me laugh because they have the likes of Hector Bellerin and Maitland-Niles out on loan at the minute. Like if you're short in that position, you know. Like, what are you doing loaning all
can't
that?
Recall can't recall out, inside like. I think Bellerin was one of the players he was looking to get rid of, one of those problematic players, and amongst sort of like Aubameyang and the rest of them as well. So I don't see Bellerin making a return. They have a lot of players that are still considered, maybe a couple of years ago would have been first team players, you know, like the Guendouzi, obviously severed ties pretty much with Arteta, had a big falling out, can't seem to get the relationship back on track. At least if Guendouzi is going to stay out in France as well.
I think that's confirmed, isn't it? He's staying out there, I think. But yeah, they've got, you know, that looks of William Saliba as well, who's I don't think he's actually played a first team game for the club since he signed. But he's, you know, he's obviously doing well in France as well. So, I mean, they have these options to come back, but it doesn't help them like here and now when they've only got about 19 senior players in the squad. So, Ben White, I think he did well enough, didn't he?
I think, yeah, it was, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Rob Holding, but he actually had quite a good game in this game. Just to go back onto the Nketiah penalty, look to me, personally, I don't think it was a penalty. It looked to me as if, was it Nketiah or Saka? Saka that won the penalty?
I think it was Saka who went down.
Yeah, Saka won the penalty. It seems as if to be grabbing Azpilicueta's arm
that's what
holding him there. And then
it looks like they're a bit of both. They were both holding each other.
Yeah. So it didn't look massively like a penalty for me, but you know, you got to take these things when you can get them.
Well taken penalty.
Massively upset Cesar Azpilicueta. I don't know if you've seen him having a go at that fan at the end. Did you manage to get an eye on that?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, it was very funny. A guy was giving it a bit to Cesar Azpilicueta as he was doing his walk round. And he went right up to him pretty angry. The guy ended up putting his hands up and then giving it a bit of, all right, okay, right. Sorry. Sorry, big man. which I thought was quite
bad play. But yeah, but I mean, we need a bit more of that, I think, from players. You know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't think Azpilicueta really had that bad a game himself. You know, he got a goal, didn't he? So
yeah, he did. Yeah, he had a pretty strong game.
Yeah, so I mean, why not? Yeah, just go over, let people know how you feel. Yeah, they must get pretty tired, to be fair, just getting absolutely shouted at like every single week, like every game. No one's ever going to be happy, are they? So. Yeah,
I mean it was. I thought this would be a good opportunity for Chelsea to go and show that they can recapture a little bit of form. Obviously, it's quite hard to do in the uncertainty that's in that club at the minute. But it was a huge opportunity for players to step up in Arsenal. I think the players that came in really took their chance. And Arteta said the reason these players come in is because they performed so well in training, which is easy to say after the match. It's it's easy to make a spin on it. It's not because we have a terribly thin squad. It's because these players are performing well in training. You know, make a positive out of event. And, you know, it's media 101, isn't it?
I mean, these players are the only players I've got training at the moment, so they're doing well enough to get in the team.
exactly. I thought Elneny was fantastic, you know, and playing against N'Golo Kanté, who was pretty much his opposite number on that side as well. I think he did fantastically well, and I think he had the better game of the two of them. I thought Granit Xhaka had a solid game as well. Odegaard, who is always good, very rarely has a bad outing. I think he's one of the sort of brighter sparks in that Arsenal side. What a signing as well.
I think I don't see him being at Arsenal forever. Odegaard, I think he'll end up getting bought by like a Man City or someone like that, because he rarely puts a foot wrong. And he just makes everything look so easy, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, a great capture for Real Madrid. I'm not quite sure how much they paid for him. He is an Arsenal player now. I'm right in saying that. Yes, he is.
He was on loan, and then
they triggered a buyout or they've made an offer or something like that. I'm not quite sure about the ins and outs here, but he always looks promising.
Young as well. Yeah, he's only 23 still, so he's got a lot of,
the very season number 10, or he plays like a season number 10. Not that he's that old, but he's got quite a lot to his game. A big fan of his. And Nketiah just played a sort of number 9's game, I think. You know, I think Arsenal did the basics right here. And I think the lineup of Chelsea was very sort of conservative, you know, and, you know, it was a defensive minded lineup. They obviously had a huge bulk of the possession because of that. Almost 70% possession. 68% possession, actually, as I look at it to my left. And I'm looking at the lineup they went with.
That's a Thomas Tuchel way of playing, though, really, isn't it? Like setting up with defence being your primary objective. Obviously, it's not worked for them here, conceding four goals.
Reece James had a woeful game. Christensen had a woeful game. Saar didn't have a particularly strong game. Mendy obviously had a very poor game. When those defensive players that you rely on, it doesn't really matter how much possession you have when you let four go past you.
For
a lineup this defensive, to let four go by them is a real sort of maybe a worry for Tuchel.
Potentially, like you said earlier, everything's up in the air really for Chelsea at the moment. You don't know where things are going in the summer. Are they going to get bought out? You know, is the buyout going to be, you know, a lucrative one, or is it going to be a case of we need to sort of try and conserve a bit and bring players through?
Here's one for you. I don't know if you read this today. I read today that for one of the bidders for Chelsea, that Lewis Hamilton and Serena Williams are putting up £10 million each.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Which doesn't make them have any sort of control over Chelsea. Less than a 1% stake in a club. So
they would have some sort of profit.
Ambassadorial. Ambassadorial roles with quite a lot of profit, I'd imagine.
Yeah, something. It is weird, isn't it? I mean, I guess it's an investment, I suppose. Yeah. Because, you know, Chelsea Football Club is going to be around. It's going to be making money. It's going to be, you're going to have some sort of sponsorship deal there or something like that, you know, that they can broker. So,
also screams to me as like whoever that buyer is, and I don't know who they are, and I'm not going to read into the business and stuff like that, but just because I think I would shoot myself in the head if I was to do that. I spend my days doing that, looking through the business history of bidders of Chelsea. But all I think is, like, this is a great way. Like, if you were going to buy Chelsea Club, and I know the Ricketts guys, who turned out to be like horrendous and racist and stuff like that. I don't know the full story, but they obviously they've dropped out now. But other bidders are like, oh, don't look at us, look at Serena Williams, and Lewis Hamilton. You know, don't look at where else. But I'd imagine, you know, £2.5 billion. I don't imagine like many places is developed that money morally. You know what I mean? it's probably some sort of horrible money from somewhere. I don't know, but that just kind of screams of it to me.
Some sort of scheme that also happens to funnel money for Lewis Hamilton and Serena Williams or something. That's why they've been roped in. No, we need you to put your name to this to make it seem legit. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Like you said, we don't really want to get involved in all of that kind of situation.
No.
Because we're definitely not educated enough to comment on it. But the Chelsea situation,
but we're not qualified.
Needs resolution, doesn't it?
I'm a soldier and you're a customer service person. We're not journalists. But I'm a student now. I used to be a soldier. I'm a student now.
The Chelsea situation needs some sort of resolution, though, doesn't it? Because like, otherwise it'll drag on. It'll impact their summer, and then
Rudiger's a big one for me. I looked at that back line last night, and I thought, you know, a Tony Rudiger,
he goes a long way. Yeah,
this would be a start of the day in a couple of days. But no centre back in the league takes more shots than Tony Rudiger. He's taking 39 shots at goal this season.
How many has he scored? Has he got one goal? I think
he's maybe got one or two. But it's not just, I think there's a
one
lot
of them was an absolute screamer, though, to be fair.
It came in the Brentford game, didn't it, where they lost was it a crazy scoreline? 4-1, 5-1 or something like that. So I remember looking at I think I was watching Match of the Day and I seen it and I
like, what is going on there?
Yeah, it was one of these sort of oof goals where you kind of see it. Oh, fucking hell.
I was at the football when that was happening and I had Chelsea in my accumulator and they went 1-0 up. And I checked it and I was like, oh, great.
Done deal.
And then 10 minutes later, I checked it again and they were 3-1 down. I was like, what the fuck's going on here?
Ivan Tony happened.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
I mean, we should talk about
it. I want to say on this game, sorry, before we move on, great way for Arsenal to bounce back off the back of three defeats in the league. I think it was needed. Well,
And it's turned the race for top four into something really exciting now that that it's like the table is starting to steady itself because there's not so many teams that have so many games in hand or teams that have quite a lot of game in hand to play and stuff like that. Arsenal and Spurs now sit in the exact same games played and the exact same points tally. Obviously, Spurs sit there for a better goal difference. It's going to be a good running.
It's not inconceivable as well that Chelsea could get dragged into that race for fourth because they're 5 points ahead of Spurs. They have got a game in hand, but the way their results have been recently, it's been very patchy, hasn't it? So there is a chance that potentially we could see them get dragged in as well.
Which is very interesting.
Yeah,
they keep playing like that, mate. Like 5 points will go quicker than people think.
Exactly.
People seem to think really, 5, 6, 9 points is huge. It's if a team's out of form, those leads could disappear.
Yeah,
quite fast.
5 points, especially, is not a big gap. They've got their 6 games.
You have a bad week, and that points tally's down to 2, and they can reach you in a game. That's the truth of it. So it's it would be a huge disappointing season for Chelsea fans and the Chelsea club as well. That I think that would be if they were to lose out in Champions League football. I think honestly Tuchel's job would come into he'd come into question. Also, there's nobody there to sack him. He must be thinking, "Oh, it's not literally no one can." he walks into a room. It's Lewis Hamilton and Serena Williams and a shake.
Serena Williams just smacks an ace at him, like "Get out!" Imagine that. Maybe that's what they brought him in for. You can do all the sackings.
And he's paid £10 million for the privilege. I think his job would be in question, but it's not quite that bad. Let's not paint Spurs and Arsenal as if they're the picture of consistency. Arsenal could play a fantastic game last night and I don't know who they've got next. I think Manchester United, but a 6-pointer for them.
Yeah, they have got Manchester United next. They've then got to go away to West Ham, tough game. So, and they do still have to play Spurs as well. So again,
if they could stay on the same points till that game,
form,
they need to do everybody a favour. They need to do the neutrals a favour, like us, and stay on the same points until that game.
Make it worth watching.
Make it worth watching. That's what I'm saying. Right, what else should we talk over the results from elsewhere in the league last night? Let's go to Everton Leicester. We said Leicester were in for a sure win here, and we said that Fabian Delph was going to have a bad game. Ended up being the best midfielder in the park. He's playing a blinder yet again.
It's the screamer's curse.
I know, mate. He's not playing a good. I think he played all right, maybe again in the Man U game. I think he played in the Man U game, but I don't think he did the full game. I think he did about 80 minutes or something in the Man U, and he played a solid game, right? But that's not a great test against a Man United midfield that basically stands there and
there's more difficult teams he could play against at the moment, certainly.
But he fucking, it's the first good performance, like genuinely good performance against the tough opposition he's done in honestly about 4 or 5 years, and it just comes off the back of us saying he's going to not be great in this game.
Exactly. I mean, he should be thanking us. I do expect something, in the mail from Fabian Delph, just to say thanks for mocking my return to the Everton starting lineup, because it's going to keep me there to the end of the season, probably. No,
yeah,
right. If he has another good game next time they play, then he's in there, isn't he? Interesting game like this one. Leicester did have the bulk of all the possession. Everton were able to just scrape a draw really at the end, weren't they?
It was a late equaliser, wasn't it?
Scuffed finish from
Richarlison.
Yeah.
Anthony Gordon got man in a match. Everton had the chat. When did Leicester score? Right at the beginning of the game as well.
They had
the full game to kill this. They had the full game to kill this game, and they deserve it. Leicester in a right old tough old place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They've got the better players front to back. They've almost front to back. They've got better players than Everton here. And huge, must be hugely disappointing.
To be fair, I'm just looking at the stats. Everton had 13 shots and had 8 on target. Leicester only had 1 shot on target, and that was their... Oh, sorry, no. That's off target. Oh, my bad.
I was going 8 shots on target.
Yeah, I was
going
to say that that's...
For 13?
That's very bad, yeah.
I know, I was going to say that's so staples.
Shots on target, they had 3 each. Yeah, my bad. Okay, that goes out the window, what I just said then. Cut that out. Yeah,
Cut that.
Yeah, very poor, Everton. Very poor.
Very poor, indeed. I mean, that puts Leicester at 9th. And... Oh, they were already at 9th, sorry. But puts them out of the question for even a fluky sort of massively great run at the end of the season.
If you're
because down there you can go on a run. If you go on a run of 3 or 4 games and you can move up the table. But no, it's that's it for me.
The only way they get into Europe now is if they win that Conference League, which is doable because I think that gets them into the Europa League if they win that next year.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, that's the only way they do it. I think.
Who did they need to beat to do that?
Oh, they have in the semi final. I can't remember.
The Swan Pub team.
It's last week. Yeah. We were literally talking about that last week as well. Let me have a look.
The Covington Arms
Roma.
Or something. Or...
Roma. They have to
oh, Jesus Christ, that's quite a big team.
They have to get past Jose. Yeah.
That's never in a million years happening. Never. Oh. Well, Jose will win that and he'll celebrate it harder than he won than winning the Champions League with Porto. He'll win that and he'll just shithouse it and I don't know.
Jose Mourinho, if he does go on and win that Conference League, he's always got the I was the first ever manager to win it kind of thing.
That is why he's going to fucking win it. That is why he's going to fucking win it.
Exactly.
Because in the old amount until and we'll be sat here in 2050 doing episode fucking 490,000 of Total Screamers. And Jose would have come out in the press and said, you know, I was the first manager to win this competition.
Respect.
Yeah.
Respect. I won 3 Champions Leagues, 1 Conference League.
It's like he's in the room. No, I mean, let's look at the table right now. Wolves still in with a shout of, I'm getting Europa. Really starting to close that gap. Yeah. If they win their game... if they win their game in hand over West Ham, then they'll move on the same points tally.
But the Europa, the qualification is different now this year because, at the minute, the only team that will finish in the Europa League is fifth place.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I thought it was
because if Leicester win,
Of course, seventh is going to be the conference.
It's sixth is the conference at the minute, as far as I can see. If Leicester win that Conference League, they go into the Europa League, and then sixth place goes into the conference, and that's it. There's one team in the conference, one team that's qualified for the Europa League through the league, and then the top four is obviously still Champions League.
Right,
I think that's how it's going to work. And then if Leicester get knocked out, that sixth place goes to the Europa League, and then seventh place goes to the Conference League or something like that.
Wait, how long is it before we have four European competitions?
And we'll be
Burnley need to try and secure 14th place to play the Europa Super Fucking Cup, you know? The Europa Garden League.
I'd be up for that, to be fair.
I'd play
Burnley,
in it.
Burnley getting, away games in Albania and that.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah.
They've got to go play Alaska.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, we've got the Estonian champions at home this week. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think
the champions of St. Lucia.
I'd rather see that than a Super League, definitely.
I've just mentioned teams that aren't in Europe, but that's not edgy take either. I'm sure they've got in.
That's how ridiculous it's going to get.
Yeah,
world tournament.
Yeah. What else is good on? Ten Hag, it's official. Ten Hag's the new Manchester United boss.
Yeah, I saw someone tweeted earlier. It's like, what was the first thing that Erik ten Hag should do when he gets in there? And someone just quoted it with leave.
Anyway, I mean, I feel kind of reluctant to talk about Manchester United, but we did a big piece on them yesterday.
Yeah. Newcastle beat Palace.
Newcastle did beat Palace.
Yeah.
I mean, the Howe train
did a ridiculous step over. Have you seen it?
It wasn't one step over, mate. It was about 15 step overs.
Absolutely.
Right, folks, if you've not seen this, it's stationary step overs. It's the step overs like a guy like me would do, a heavy set man that obviously cannot run with the ball, would stand and step over the ball.
The ball doesn't move. The defender doesn't move. St. Maximin's just there doing like river dance or whatever. He's over the top of this ball. It's just absolutely glorious, isn't it? What a moment.
It was great. Mate, look at this. Newcastle are 11th, mate. 3 wins and a bounce. 40 points got with fucking 5 games to go. Do you remember they were sure to go down? Do you think when Howe was coming in the door, anybody would have backed them to get 40 points with five games left to play?
No chance. Absolutely. I wrote them off. I said they're down. Yeah, I can't believe the turnaround. They've won something like 20-odd points since the turn of the year. Like if the league started 1st of January, they'd be like third or something like that behind Liverpool and whoever else. So it's
in form.
Yeah. Crazy. And they could finish in the top half at the minute. But they're level on points with Brighton. Brighton have not really been threatened by relegation all season. Neither have Leicester. And they're only a point behind Leicester. It's ridiculous. Fair play, Eddie Howe. But also, that is what the money does.
They spent
Steve
less.
Steve Bruce wouldn't have been able to do that because they wouldn't have given him the money or whatever to do it. So,
I'm not sure Steve Bruce would know what to do with that.
No, I don't think he would.
If they turned around and said to Steve Bruce, you've got 100 million to spend, I think he'd get to about 70 million and he'd think, right, I've bought 24 players.
I think he'd be like, right, well, I'm living well for the next year, chippy every night.
Yeah, chippy every
night. I'm going to take at least a million of that for myself.
What chippy is he going to?
Yeah.
Well, it is a question for you. Should Man United have went and got Kier Trippier, Dan Burn, Bruno Guimaraes, and Chris Wood?
Oh, that's a great question. I think Trippier would be a good signing for them.
I think, I absolutely think he would have been a good signing, even though he's injured.
I think Guimaraes, I don't know whether he would have really got a game there. If they're not going to give a game to Van der Beek, then what's the point in signing another midfielder?
Dan Burn gets a game.
Dan Burn was 100%.
Dan Burn and Varane.
I think Dan Burn would probably do all right there as well.
Yeah.
Get up, win the headers.
Chris Wood, he's holding up the ball. He's playing in Sancho. He's playing in Rashford. You know, I can see it, mate, in my mind's eye. They're two football snobbery, mate. Chris Wood.
Big hold-up player. That's what Manchester United are lacking, really. It's just someone to hold the ball up.
I tell you,
let their quick players get on the counter. You know what? Like, that would be a really interesting experiment. Yeah, I'd like to see that happen.
Would you argue, I think because the players' form is so bad right now that you can think almost any player you think of improves the side. Every signing they made in January improved them to the point where they're safe with 5 games to go. Insane.
Yeah, you have to credit the management as well, to be fair. I think Eddie Howe is obviously motivating them the right way as well.
He is. There's a strong chance that Newcastle are probably going to finish 9th. If things go super well.
That's a brilliant season for Newcastle.
That's the highest finish Newcastle have for I don't know how many years.
Since that Pardew season when they got into Europe, I'm assuming. Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy. Fair play to them. Man. What does that say about the quality of the rest of the league if Newcastle are finishing above you?
They don't have Dan Bond.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit scared about what's going to happen next year. Like, as Newcastle, once they get to the summer, it's going to be, you know, splashing the cash.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be pushing for that conference.
I can't wait for that Foss Ludicrous signing. I can't wait to see, like, fucking Paul Pogba in a Newcastle shirt or something like that, you know? That's going to be absolutely mental.
Yeah,
I love it.
It will be. It will
It'll be like... I'm trying to think of...
People will be saying, oh, it's killing football and stuff. I mean, but the madness will be nice to enjoy for a little while. And then when they get as good as Man City are now, then...
Yeah, then I'll hate them. I'll despise them.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean... It's all there's huge money all over football. You know what I mean? That's what it is. It all comes with bad players.
As long as Alan Saint-Maximin's still doing those step overs, I don't care where they finish in the league.
Exactly. Yeah, so,
did you see as well? Almiron took his goal really well as well.
Yeah. He's had a difficult time at Newcastle. Very much a flair player. It was a big one that because Almiron came from the MLS.
Mm.
It's not often Premier League teams take from the MLS, quite rare, but he's not as important to the squad as when he first came, but he's potentially got a role to play.
Yeah,
if he plays like he did against Palace.
Like I say, he took his goal really well, and he seemed to be the one who was trying to make things happen for Newcastle in front of goal as well. I think he had a couple of other chances, so yeah, maybe he's Eddie Howe's sort of rejuvenated him a bit. Mm. I think he still plays a part for them, even when they've got, you know, even when they go and sign Messi or whatever in the summer.
Yeah.
Almiron probably still on the bench.
Rightio. I think that is going to do is we're going to come back. Obviously, there's football on tonight, Burnley, Southampton. So we'll come back, talk about that tomorrow, but we'll also preview the weekend's games coming tomorrow night. So until then, cheer bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.